Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Cheryl Thaxton, for Faith of Life, the Process is There. I'm so glad that you joined me today and that we are walking together for 15 minutes of empowerment through the Process of There, seeing God's Word being proven in our life, seeing God stretch us, make us, refine us, seeing the Word of God manifest as we are encouraged to walk by faith and not by sight. And this walk is a walk, as I said before, a walk of faith, a walk that you can't just say that you're going to plan out, but it's a daily walk where you allow the Word of God to be alive inside of you. And that Word that now lives inside of you now proves you and proves God, so that you are able to trust them beyond the circumstances of your life. We've been looking at individuals in the Bible, not seeing them as superhuman Christians, but seeing them as everyday individuals living at a different time, but the Word of God for their life being manifested as they walk through, not being perfect people, not being people who always made the right decisions, but those who trust God. And as they trust God and believe His report, even in their failures and their mistakes, it does not refute or stop the Word of God. Because when God speaks something that has already been predestined, it doesn't matter what happens in your life. Time can't change it. Circumstances can't change it. People, pain, hard times, tough times, not even the enemy can change what God has already predestined for your life. That word that He's spoken will surely come to pass. And as you prove God and God proves you and takes you through the cycles of being transformed, being changed, you see the manifestation of God's power taking you to height, depth to depth, glory to glory, faith to faith, as you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we've been looking at individuals and seeing that even when they did not make them, when they made a mistake, he did not do as God said. It did not stop the word that God had spoken concerning. God was still able to make that grace abound for them. He was still able to make the authority of his word come to pass, because once God speaks something, it will not return void. And that's what you have to understand. We're going to look today in the book of Daniel, and this is a message that I'm actually getting ready to preach, but I wanted to share part of it with you and encourage you in your walk and in your faith. Many times when we pray and when we're waiting on God, it seems as if God is far from us, and it seems like the answer that we need will not come nigh us, and we're waiting for God to provide even an understanding of what we're going through or what we're facing or even what we know we need direction on. And when we look at the book of Daniel, we see the same type of, the same concerns that we have. Even though this is a prophetic book concerning the end times, we're looking here at the man Daniel and seeing him in predicaments where he's been in waiting on the Lord and getting frustrated almost in his wait, but then the answer coming to him. When we look at Daniel 9 and 10, the ninth chapter of Daniel lets us know that Daniel was seeking God for an answer. He was seeking God because he knew that there were some things that were getting ready to transpire that he needed an answer to for not only himself but his people. And what I like about this is Daniel is in the book of Jeremiah, looking at in Jeremiah. He's looking at the book of prophecy that Jeremiah had actually written concerning Israel. And he knew what the prophet had spoken, what God had shown the prophet concerning Israel. And he knew that he needed the favor of God. He needed to entreat God. He needed to petition God on behalf of his people so that he can get an answer. And he went to God using the word of God. He did not go to God praying to God amiss, but he prayed what he knew. He prayed what God had showed Jeremiah. He prayed what he knew the word of God was concerning his people. And he went to God humbly, looking for an answer and looking for direction. And what I like about it is in his prayer, in his persistence, in his travail, because he was travailing in prayer, he needed an answer and he needed direction. And we see that as he's moving in that direction, as he is humbly going before the Lord, in the same chapter of Daniel 9, we see in the 20th verse and even in the 21st verse here, it says that even while I was praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people. And I have to stop right there. When we go before God, sometimes we forget to confess. Sometimes we go to God not allowing the blood of Jesus and the grace and the mercy of God to go before us, to surround us. And we go before him and we have not covered the places in our life when we know that we've done wrong, when we know that we have actually sinned in word, thought, or deed, when we haven't believed God, when we've been afraid and we have not confessed to God, that we've allowed fear to come and choke out faith. The things that when we go to God, we have to make sure we cover, that everything is covered. Even sometimes when we're going and asking for things and praying for things, even concerning our family, we've got to make sure we cut off and the things, the sins of the past, even of our forefathers. Daniel prayed, even though he himself was not there when Israel began to rebel against God. He prayed and interceded for their sins and asked for mercy and asked for forgiveness. And sometimes we've got to go and say, God, I don't even know everything that my father and my mother did. I don't even know what my great-grandfather did. I don't know how they rebelled against you and what doors that they opened up to bring in rebellion or to bring in your judgment. But God, I'm praying and interceding, and I'm asking for mercy and that you would forgive us and wipe away everything that has come through the generations because of their disobedience and their rebellion. Sometimes we have to go and we have to do that. And many times when we do that, that in itself, that travail, that heart that says, God, I want the generations now and the future to be right. I want them to know you and serve you and have every blessing that belongs to them. I don't want the enemy to open up a door in their life. When we do that, we give God permission to interfere in our situation. We give him permission to interfere with the generations of our family and to even let mercy plead our case, grace come in, and do something that we ourselves could not do. So we see here that he was praying earnestly, travailing earnestly for God to answer, for God to do something. And it says here, it says that even as he was praying, it says, and I was confessing the sins, my sins and the sins of my people, and desperately pleading with the Lord, my God, for Jerusalem, his holy mountain. See, he was pleading. It wasn't just him saying words. It wasn't him just putting words out there. He was travailing in great desperation by faith, wanting an answer from God. And the word of God says here, it says, Gabriel, which I had seen earlier, in an earlier vision, flew swiftly to me at that time of the evening sacrifice and said to me, Daniel, I am here to help you understand God's plan. God is bringing an answer so that we can understand his plan. He's going to bring a release that will help you understand where you are and where you're going. He's going to bring a release that is going to give you power to walk out whatever it is that he tells you. He's going to make sure that you're strengthened so that you can go through whatever he asks you to go through. If the answer is no, you're going to be able to go through it. If the answer is wait, you're still going to be able to go through it. If the answer is yes, you're still going to have the strength to go through it. Because sometimes even in our yes, we have gone through so much in our life that the yes, and because we finally have the yes that we've been waiting for, that which was so far off, when we finally get it, God has to strengthen us to walk through it because we become weak in the fact that we have a yes. And I'm not talking about weakness in the fact of being going out and sinning, but it's like it's finally something can happen so good that it takes strength from you, that it just takes strength from you because after holding on and fighting and enduring for such a long time, now you're at a place and it finally comes and strength can leave you. So God comes with an answer of understanding that not only gives you what you're asking for and where you're going, but it provides you with strength so that you can stand it endure it, carry it, or go to the next phase of what God is instructing you to do. And that's what I love about it. Daniel comes and he says here, I'm here to help you understand God's plan. And this is the thing that he says next. He says, the moment you begin praying, a command was given. That means God heard him, and the word of God lets us know that. That when we pray, God hears us. But time and pressure and circumstances try to make it feel as if God has not answered and God does not hear us and God does not care. That is the trick of the enemy. That is the thought of the enemy that pulls up in the mind in the soulish realm, which we've been talking about. That soulish realm is the part that we have to cast down every vain imagination and bring every thought unto the captivity of Jesus Christ. We've got to take every thought, because every thought that comes in our mind is not a godly thought. It is not a thought that God has given us. And when we're in a battle and when we need answers and when we need direction from the Lord, we have to make sure that every thought goes under the captivity of Jesus Christ, that it goes through him. So the enemy finds no place, no ground, no hole, no avenue that he can maneuver in our life, in our minds, to stop us from the victory that God has promised. That place of the mind, the soulish realm, is the place, as you've heard me say before, is the place of our wills. It is the place of our intellect. It is the place of our choosing, where we choose things, our thought patterns. And the enemy knows if he can get in your mind and make you think contrary to the word of God, choose wrongly, feel and walk by your emotions instead of by faith, then he has you. This is what Paul was in the book of Corinthians. He was addressing with the Corinthian churches. He said, I fear, I'm afraid that the serpent that deceived Eve is now deceiving you, that serpent has cold in your mind, that serpent is now making you move not by faith, but by your emotion, by your thoughts and how you feel, and not by your faith. And that's why we have to make sure that when we are praying and interceding and we need an answer from God and we're travailing, that even though it seems and appears as if God is not answering and he's far from us, that is not the case, because the word of God says he's with us even until the end, always. He's right there, that we have his spirit and his life. And if he came to live inside of us, then there's nothing that can separate us from him at his will for us. He's not tired of us. He's not deserted us. He's not run off from us. He's there. And Daniel was here in his travail, because if you look prior to this, he's pleading with God. He's praying earnestly with God. But the angel comes and he tells him, the moment you begin praying, a command was given, and I am here to tell you what it is, for God loves you very much. He reassured him that even in your weight and what you're going through and the stuff that might have come to your mind or make you feel like God has forsaken you, God is not with you, God is not concerned about your people, God is not concerned about what direction they're going to go. And even though you read the prophecy of Jeremiah, God comes back and he reassures him. He says, I love you. You're in my thoughts. You're in my plan. I don't want to destroy you, but I can't have you rebelling against my will. So God comes and he gives him the reassurance that he's with him. And he says, listen and try to understand the meaning of that you saw. That means God, whatever it is that God is telling you, whatever it is that God is directing in your life, even though it looks as if that thing is afar off and the answer is not coming and you've been going through some stuff, God is going to give you the answer for what he showed you and what he told you. He's going to give you the understanding so that whenever you go through this, whenever you continue, your next step, the next thing that God is doing in your life, you have the understanding for it. Your understanding is not going to be just for where you are and what's going on, but it's going to be for your future. God is coming to answer everything. He's coming to answer where you're at, what has happened, and where he's taking you. And when he gives you that understanding, he's going to strengthen you so that you're able to stand at what he's called you to do. And how we know that? Because in the 10th chapter, it says that when the angel of the Lord came to Gabriel came, and Daniel was strengthened to hear what God was saying. I don't care what you're going through in your life or what you're facing. The angel of God, the messenger of God, the Holy Spirit is going to bring the answer to you with understanding, and he's going to strengthen you so that you can carry out the next step and the next phase for where you are and where God is taking you. Be blessed of the Lord. Be encouraged, and I pray that you continue to walk and say God and see the God that is called you to impossible things in your life. Make all things possible because he's well able. He's heard you, he's answered you, and now you're going to get the victory. Be blessed. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next week, Tuesday through Thursday, again for Favor Life, the prophets are there. God bless you.